Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th of November, Anno Domini 2013. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Because here comes the news. People, if you're on the Hangout, turn off your microphones. How hard is that? I have to remind you of that every week.
Or turn off your cameras if you don't want to be on camera.
Either. Right.
Or put a silly picture up.
There's an idea. All right. Facebook. Yay, Facebook. Is taking steps to protect its owners in the aftermath of an Adobe hack that affected tens of millions of customer accounts. Latest estimates are hundreds of millions of customer accounts. The company is asking anyone that used identical login credentials across both services to change their Facebook password immediately. To identify users that may be at risk, Facebook engineers are combing through a publicly posted database that contains details on millions of Adobe accounts.
A 60 million at last count,
yeah,
wasn't it?
If a match is, now they're saying 110 million now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Every week it goes up.
Yeah. If a match is discovered, Facebook displays a message that alerts users of a security incident on another website unrelated to Facebook. Facebook is not directly affected by the incident, but your Facebook account is at risk because you were using the same password in both places, the warning reads. If you're among those affected, you'll be asked to answer a few questions for verification purposes, after which you can enter a new and hopefully unique password. As an added precaution, security precaution, Facebook notes that no one can see you on Facebook until you finish with the password reset process. We actively look for situations where the accounts of people who use Facebook could be at risk, even if the threat is external to our service, a company spokesrobot told in a post. Adobe has confirmed that at least 110 million accounts were compromised in the breach. Started out at 38 million, then they said 60 million.
Now I think the first number I saw was like 6 million.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I saw the first number I saw was 38. Though security experts worry that the total figure may be much larger. No kidding. Choosing the same password for multiple websites is never a wise choice, and we've railed against it here for years. So if your Adobe login was used in more than one place, you should probably consider updating those passwords. And in fact, if you ever use the same password in two places ever, you really ought to consider changing them. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, did you get caught by the Adobe password hack? And your choices are, yes, but I never used the same password twice. Yes, and I had to change my passwords. No, I never use Adobe products. And I only have one password, and I'm not going to change it. So far, we have 22 votes. And no, I never use Adobe products as far in the lead. And of course, I know you'll have more to say. So if you check out the forums, go down the right-hand column about halfway, you'll see fascinating stuff. And under it, the forums is the first choice. Look for the 16Nov13. Did you get caught by the Adobe password hack? And of course, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
It's kind of good to have all three of us back here.
It is. This is actually very, very exciting. I had forgotten what Dave looked like, and I'm sad now that I remember. But we're very glad.
Keep telling you, I have a face for radio, and that's where it's got to stay.
And we're very, very pleased to have all three of us here for your harassment. And I'm just going to
Since people don't seem capable of muting themselves, I will mute them here.
There you go.
And that'll be probably best. There we go. All right.
Listen, tech, now, just think about, you know, again, now we're sitting here streaming this way. They're doing it on the webpage through, they can listen to it, what, on if they go to 90.jazz901.org.
Yeah. There's 100 different ways.
I mean, there's so many ways they can get it. They can go to our library now and download it. I know a number of folks that will automatically have it loaded to their podcast.
We have a number of people overseas, you know who you are, who listen regularly.
Yep.
We're delighted to hear that. They probably are rarely going to call in, because for many of them, this is the middle of the night.
Yeah, it could be an issue.
So that, yes.
Oops.
It could be an issue. But we have, we broadcast on the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, actually, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably move that over to the Soundbites YouTube channel, shouldn't I?
And the Ustream channel. We probably don't need to do both, but.
Why not? It's a different set of cameras, so it really.
Dave keeps moving closer and farther away from the camera, so right now we got a shot of his beard.
Yeah.
Tell you what, just point it to the floor or up to the ceiling.
No.
When you lean down to answer the phone, it's a nice shot of your ear.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got to do that so, you know, it's trying to keep it as quiet as I can so you guys could continue, because what some folks don't realize, when I'm on the phone, what, there's maybe 3 feet from the phone over to you guys, and again, people.
Well, because you're whispering to them.
Yeah, I know. And we've gone over this before, you know. Yeah, just because I whisper, please, don't you whisper also. It's okay. You're in your house. You can yell and scream as much as you want. I got the phone up to my ear, so it's not going over the ear.
That's exactly right. And of course, talking about pointing the camera up at the ceiling, it looks like Smiley's got his camera pointing at the ceiling. Smiley, just...
Turn it off.
Your camera. It's easier that way.
Yeah, really.
Or put something interesting on the screen.
But yeah, we're...
Point it down and put some action figure or something.
Yeah, there you go. We have spoken about this a million times. Never use the same password in two different places.
And, well, because part of the problem is almost every place uses your email address as the username.
Right.
So you used to have two pieces of information that were your key.
Consistent.
But everyone uses... the same one, so now there's only one thing protecting your account.
Right. Unless you're doing two-factor authentication, which nobody does because it's...
Bite me.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is that you need to make sure that every password is different, because nowadays, and you're seeing it here with this Adobe hack, the problem is not you, the problem was somebody hacking Adobe. And because they hacked Adobe, you are at risk. So if you've got multiple passwords, and there's no excuse anymore for not having multiple passwords. First, look at how old I am. I regularly remember 40 different passwords, 42 actually. And you're not stupider than I am. Don't even pretend you are. But even if you don't want to do that, there's KeePass, there's LastPass, there's 50 other things.
So many other programs you can use that will keep your, you know, list available.
And the Mac has the keychain password manager built in. So you're probably using that and don't even know it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it will generate passwords for you. So every site you go to can have a different, long, completely unrememberable password that you don't even know. Let your computer know it.
As long as you're on that computer.
And
remember
your main administrator one password.
It's the one
password. Not forget
that's
that
the one
password.
Yeah, you got to write down and tuck away, because that unlocks the rest of them, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
And again, we've pointed out, too, with the passwords, make them a little harder. I know sometimes it's a pain in the butt, even at my work. You know, folks, oh, darn it, I got to change my password again. You know, they make you change it every 6 months. Hello? Sure.
And I know I've heard stories about people who will change it. You can't use the last 6 passwords, so they'll change it 7 times. So
it comes back
to the same one again, yeah.
You know, here's the thing. What's important is not... We used to talk about how complexity was the most important thing. 47.3 left elbow J36. That's ridiculous. Now, it's not complexity that's important; it's length. Mm-hmm. Because what they do is they break your passwords using computers, and the longer the password, the longer it takes to break. So, if your password is both complex and long, and complex doesn't mean a bunch of things you don't understand. It means adding in numbers, capitals, lowercase, symbols. All in there. So,
but don't use the straight leet speak. You know, an at for an A and an exclamation point for a one, because the bad guys know about that, and that's the things they test against too.
Right. So if you wanted, and for heaven's sake, don't use this as a password. But if you wanted your password to be Astronomicon, that's easily broken. It's a word. But if it was Astro 2013 Nomicon 12. With a capital A, a capital N.
Yeah. Mix of uppercase and lowercase.
Right. That's a very complex but easy to remember password.
And a great event to go to this weekend.
And a great event to go to this weekend.
They're almost calling it the science fiction convention in town this weekend at the Radisson Riverside. They're almost calling it the David Convention because the guests of honor are David Gerald, who's a writer for Star Trek, David Stevenson, who's a rocket scientist, worked on the DCX single stage to orbit vehicle, and Peter David, comic book author and Star Trek book author.
Very nice.
The David Con.
Is there somebody in there who's not a David?
Well, there's Devo. Devo Spice is the music guest of honor.
Three Davids and a Devo.
And a Don is the fan guest of honor.
David's a Devo and a Don.
And say hi to my wife. She's helping run the art show this year. And poor Matthew.
Hi, Shirley.
Had to go to the convention. So I told him to take his Xbox, find a TV, and start a gaming room.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or just walk around and see all the people in costume.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. And then it's a really neat science fiction weekend, too, because the Strong Museum of Play is also doing their In Another Galaxy weekend with the Star Trek. I'm sorry. My goodness, the Star Wars Club.
Oh man, are you out now?
I'm out now. Oh, I got a picture to show you next.
You're toast.
So the Star Wars Club is in costume at the Strong Museum all this weekend. But there was a meme going around that Luke Skywalker's mother dated James Kirk's father.
Yeah.
because Chris Hemsworth was George Kirk in the movie. Right. And then what's her name in
Natalie Portman,
Luke Skywalker's, and they're both together in Thor.
Right.
So it's the incestuous joining of Star Wars
Which
and Star
saw
Trek.
Last night and enjoyed very much.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I really did. I enjoyed it a lot. But back to passwords. I think it's important to note that length of a password is more important than complexity, mm-hmm. but both are important. And it can be anything. I've said this before as well. Let's say you have a song that you like. It can be one of the lines from the song. Not the line you sing out loud all the time, because everybody knows that. So maybe your second favorite or third favorite song and a line from that one. Pick something, you know, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree with some capitals in there and follow it by a number. The problem with all of that, of course, is your tablet and phone devices, because you can't. It's a pain in the neck on all of those devices to type in long.
Which is why 1Password and KeePass and Apple's Keychain work on the mobile devices as well.
Exactly. So create your long, involved, and difficult passwords. Save them in something like LastPass, and let LastPass type them in for you every time. Are we taking a break? Is that what that's about? All right, we're going to take a quick break. But you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with, I'm happy to say, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Contests are open to U.S. residents 18 years of age and older. WGMC employees and their families are not eligible to enter any contest conducted by WGMC. Members of the Board of Greece Community.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Endrick.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Steve from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Thanks. I love the show.
Thanks.
I am a member.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
My question is, I just switched from an iPhone to an Android device, a phone, and I'm loving it. And but what I'm trying to do is have access to, I still have an account with the iTunes store for all of my music, and I'm trying to figure out an easy way to transfer some of my music to my Android phone. I still have all of my songs on my iPad, and I downloaded an app onto my Android phone for it's a sync app, and it's telling me that I've got to download another device onto my Mac in order to sync them together And the other thing is that it's not going to wind up being a song player. It's just going to, I guess, allow me to have access to my iTunes, my songs on at iTunes store.
Well, I just found one called Sync Tunes Free for iTunes, which is an Android app that allows you to sync your Android device to your iTunes library.
I downloaded the paid for one. I had the free one, and when I downloaded the pay one, they said you have to delete or uninstall the free one before you can use the paid one.
Okay.
All right.
And I did that, but it says to transfer or rather download something onto my computer, but it says it has to be a Windows. It doesn't say anything about Mac.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the problem.
Well, this one I'm seeing now, Sync Tunes Free for iTunes from Bit Studio Limited, works on Windows, Mac, and Android.
Oh, okay. So that's going to allow me to do, though, is just to see my songs, though, right?
Right, it will let you see your songs on your Android device, and then let you play them. So you can sync your, you sync your music to your Android device. Basically, the songs in the iTunes library are just files on your hard drive, so you can copy them onto the Android device any way you want to. But there are apps that will let you look at your iTunes library so that your play counts are preserved, your album art is preserved, and things like that are preserved.
Would I be better off leaving them where they're at and just syncing them to play them rather than putting them on a memory chip on my Android?
Well, you can do either. One of the nice things about Google, One of the nice things about Google Play is that it has a lot of additional features. So if you upload your stuff to the library, it does a pretty... why are we hearing music? It does a lot of additional things like find other similar music, blah, 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 blah. But if all you want is your music, you can find it in your original library on your device and move it over in any one of a dozen ways to your Android device if you want to have it just on the Android device as opposed to in the cloud.
Right.
There's also the issue about how old your songs are. If you've been buying songs from the iTunes store, a lot of the early songs are DRM'd with a service called Fairplay that does not work on Android. But later songs, three or four years ago, I think it was, Apple went DRM free as soon as the music companies let them. So if you try to copy a protected DRM'd song that will not play on Android, but the unprotected songs will.
Right. Well, I don't need to move all of them or have access to all. I just like to have access to some of them because it's a fairly extensive library, but of music. But I guess I just like to get some, especially the more current ones that I've downloaded onto my MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there is a program called Music Manager that lets you upload up to 20,000 songs from your iTunes library.
Onto Android?
Into Google Play.
Well, Google Play for Mac would do that also.
Right.
What is it called?
The Google Play app for the Mac will upload your songs into the Google Music section of the
music library.
Yeah. And then you can access them with the Google Play app on Android.
Right. And
so
the Google Play.
Just go to Google Play then and do that, right?
Right. And the Google Play app also includes a music manager, but you could just go to the play.google.com/music and download the music manager.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that was one of your later news stories, is that Google released an app for iOS now.
Right.
They've had the app for macOS for a while, and they finally released the app for iOS.
Probably a good. I was with Apple since the beginning, and since Steve Jobs left the planet, it just seemed to me that Apple hasn't really done anything innovative. I mean, they're still, you know, but it just seems like they're trying to keep up. And Google, in 5 years, has caught up to and passed Apple in terms of the operating system.
Chris, Jobs did have 30 years.
Samsung and LG and all of them are using the system, but it's the system, and that really is innovative over over what Apple has been doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just seems like they're falling farther and farther behind. And I was always sold on Apple, but Google is really, really very aggressive and innovative, I think.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and they have been, and that's one of the nice things about it. There are lots of features under the hood of Google Play,
right.
The Google Music thing, that are particularly interesting comparatively.
Yeah. And not everybody will want them, but they're there if you want them.
That's
exactly
Apple,
right. On the other hand, it just, you know, all they're doing is tweaking what they had. It doesn't seem to be anybody coming forward in the company with the vision and the innovative ideas that Jobs had.
Well, that's Johnny Ives, who's the design guy. He was always the one bringing the designs to Apple. And Steve did have 30 years to come up with four major, you know, revolutionary products. So, you know, we give Tim Cook and Johnny Ive, you know, a few years to come up with something brand new.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's still a great company. Every once in a while in the morning, they came up with the original touchscreen phone and iPad. Once a week, I'll turn to the left coast and bow a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. But I don't know. They're all, you know, Google's really catching up a lot in a lot of areas. So.
Yeah, anyway. A lot of people that feel the way you do about Apple, I think it's partially, as Steve said, just perception. But a lot of people feel that way, and some of them are major shareholders of Apple. So hopefully we'll see some changes soon.
Thanks, guys. Great talking with you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Actually, this might be a good time before we get to the next call to talk about this news item. It's been more than 4 months since Google launched its on-demand music streaming service, All Access, on the web, and it's part of the native Google Play Music app for Android smartphones and tablets. Now both Google Play Music and All Access are available for iOS devices, too. The free version of the app allows you to access your existing library stored through Google Play Music. This can be either done by purchasing singles and records through Google's digital storefront, which is only available on Android and the web, or by syncing your local library with the Music Manager client, which is what we were just talking about. You can upload up to 20,000 songs this way, either from iTunes or from another designated folder. It's a long-winded workaround, but inevitability of getting Google Play Music into the App Store. A direct rival to iTunes isn't in Apple's best interests, after all. The service is then ad-free. You can listen to any of your tracks using the Listen Now, My Library, or Playlists tabs in the side menu. Using the downward arrow contained within each album page, you can also save specific recordings for offline playback. Google Play Music on iOS also supports All Access, the company's $9.99 per month on-demand streaming service. You can't upgrade within All Access to All Access within the app, though. Again, because of the way Apple insists on them doing things, you need to head over to the Android or web app to sign up. Soon it's been activated. You dive back into your settings menu, refresh your account credentials, and you're in. Radio and Explore will then be added to the side menus, giving you full access to Google's music catalog. The former consists of personalized playlists based on a genre, artist, record, or track of your choosing, much like Pandora. Explore, meanwhile, lists recommended recommendations based on your preferences and a breakdown of the latest releases. If you're after something specific, it's just a matter of heading back to the home screen, tapping the search icon. Here you can search for anything available in the service and download them to your device for offline playback. So it's billions of pieces of music for $9.99 a month. Now that it supports iOS devices, Google can truly start to compete with other cross-platform streaming services such as RDO and Spotify. It's a crowded space, especially with Microsoft and Apple in the mix, but Google has already started to differentiate with its advanced discovery features and local library integration. So that should also give Steve a little better idea of what's available there. And so if you're excited about Google All Access and iOS devices, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
It is iPhone only so far. They don't have an iPad version.
Right.
So you'd have to use the iPhone version at double size. That's right. Why I couldn't find it on my iPad. When you're in the App Store on the iPad, it starts by default showing you iPad-only apps.
Right.
But I have read about one called GMusic, which is 99 cents, that a lot of people like until Google came out with their own app, and now we'll see if they keep liking it.
Yeah, right. But I do like the All Access, $9.99 a month, yep. All the music they have, so you can listen to, well,
everything.
Anything. So that's kind of nice. Our next caller, Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've got a quick question on Windows when it starts.
Yeah.
I've been struggling with a problem for about 3 weeks now. I thought I had it fixed a couple of times, and it just keeps coming back. When it says starting Windows, and then like four pieces of the Windows design come together and then get brighter and brighter, and then it starts, right? That's what's supposed to happen.
Yep.
With my drive, what's going on is it gets to that point, and it just sits there and gets bright and doesn't do anything. It just says starting Windows, and it just sits there at the point where all four windows came together. And, I talked to a friend of mine, and he said, well, maybe you should just do a factory reinstall. So I went through all the trouble of doing that, and it did seem to fix it for a while, and now all of a sudden it's right back doing it again. In fact, I'm looking at the screen doing it right now.
Okay, there's a couple of things that could well be going on here.
Okay.
One is you could have a virus.
Uh-huh.
The other is you could have a dying hard drive. How old is this machine?
It will be a year old in February.
Yeah. Every time I say how old is this machine, I have to stop myself because the reality is that hard drives can die in an hour.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Die soon or die. In fact, was it Backblaze just released a hard drive life report like the one that Google did a few years ago?
Right.
20% per year is the average failure rate.
Yep.
So by 5 years, there's a 100% chance of failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
At any rate, my suggestion is to take your machine to a reputable dealer and have them check it out. It may be the hard drive. It may be the controller card. It's more likely to be the hard drive. But the first thing they should do is take it out, put it in another machine, and clean it. And see if it runs there and clean it.
Right.
If they clean it and it then works, then you know it was some sort of badly written rootkit.
Oh.
Otherwise, it was. The good news is, if it was a badly written rootkit, it never actually did anything, and you're still safe.
The only little piece of the puzzle that I didn't throw into the mix is that I had I had a dual boot going with Windows and Linux Mint for a while, and then I got rid of the Linux Mint, which was it was within Windows. You know, they have that thing where you can, it's like the UB, whatever they call it, that you've been too used to do.
Yeah. So you actually booted into Windows first, then ran Linux.
Right. You had a menu where you could choose Windows 7, which is in the case of this, or Linux. So I thought maybe I had messed up that master boot record somehow.
Yeah, you might have.
And that might be what's causing it, because it just goes and it sits at that starting Windows. But when you reload from the factory image right in the beginning, the CDs that you make, or DVDs in this case, shouldn't that fix that?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it absolutely would. So that's why, because you said you did a factory reinstall.
Yep.
I have to say it's more likely to be either the drive or something along that chain,
sure.
Could be the controller card or whatever, but I'm suspecting the drive.
Okay, I've got an SSD coming this week. I ordered last night online, so I'm going to try to reinstall. I'm not going to use the factory CDs or DVDs. I'm going to start with the Windows 7 Professional disk and do an install on the SSD and see if that gives me anything before I do anything else.
All right, good luck.
Thank you. I just wanted to see if there was something simple that I was missing, but I guess it isn't.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Just had to go to the library and find the right one.
Sure.
Oh, we're drinking and we're dancing and the band is really happening and the Johnny.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And you can call us at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. There are a lot of people who want to stream web video to your house. But odds are that if you're watching a web video during primetime hours, it's coming from one of two places, Netflix or YouTube. That's according to Sandvine, the broadcast service company, the broadband service company. Sandvine said that Netflix and Google's video site are now more than half of America's downstream traffic. Delivered over fixed networks, the kind that you get at home or at work during peak hours. More than half of your downstream traffic is coming from either Netflix or YouTube.
Netflix had said earlier they were 30% themselves. Yeah.
That comes from Sandvine's latest traffic report, and it shows the same trend we've been seeing for a while. Netflix accounts for a third of peak web traffic in the U.S., and YouTube is coming up on 20%. Sandvine's report also said that Hulu and Amazon, despite big efforts to catch up to Netflix in video delivery, are coming up short, at least if you're counting bits. It is possible that Hulu or Amazon or any of the providers that lag far beyond Netflix are much more efficient at delivering web signals and that somehow Sandvine's numbers drastically underrepresent their real usage numbers. On the other hand, these numbers have been pretty consistent for a while. If you're looking for an interesting wrinkle in Sandvine's numbers, check out their report on traffic delivered over mobile networks, which doesn't include traffic to your Android, iPhone, whatever, when you're on Wi-Fi. And what that said about YouTube traffic and Facebook traffic. Facebook is huge, so is YouTube, even over mobile networks where you have data caps. Do you spend much time on Netflix and YouTube? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Say, how many kids watching YouTube on their phone realize there's a data cap?
They don't, yeah.
When the parents... Yell at them for the bill.
Yeah.
Sorry. Although most of the streaming service, Netflix and YouTube, will detect what your connection speed is and lower the quality if you're on cellular. Mm-hmm. But the latest phones with 4G LTE, you can get faster broadband on LTE than you do on your cable internet at home.
Yes, you can.
So that means you can eat your data cap even faster.
Yep. Well, you get, 8 minutes of a movie at the 2 gig data cap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's your month of data.
All right, yeah.
Sure.
All right. Our next caller is Victor from Chi-Line, New York. Hi, Victor. How you doing?
How you doing today?
Good. You?
I'm well, thanks. First of all, I wanted to thank all the guys at Enright Computers for having me having saved my hard drive a couple of times and getting all the information that I needed out of there. So thanks again. You guys are really good at doing that kind of work.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Secondly, are you guys familiar with the company called Echo Nest out of Boston?
What's it called?
Echo Nest.
Echo Nest?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. What about
them? Well, my son works for them, and they actually is a company that's trying to get into the measuring of basically who is listening to what kind of music so that they can target certain demographics for products and for commercials.
Oh, sure.
Like
Nielsen for
Nielsen,
music.
Except for the music industry.
Yeah.
So, just figure and bring it up. Let you know that it exists.
Cool, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, have fun.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Neat.
Very nice.
I think Nielsen does have a radio business, at least, because we used to talk about Nielsen numbers on radio stations.
Right. Yeah. In addition, they're now starting to talk about people who DVR stuff.
Yeah, we were a Nielsen family for a while, and you could put on your DVR what you were watching and when it was originally on.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to say, I'm watching this because it's broadcast live now.
Right, right, right.
The one thing I got to admit that I really enjoy, because when I watch any TV, it's usually after it's aired, so I go to the on-demand.
Yep.
And I love that better, because the commercials are a lot shorter, so you can take a one-hour program, and it usually is pared down to about 40 minutes.
Although some of the on-demands, you can't fast-forward.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't.
Right. The commercials, some of them, they're not there. Some of them are shorter, or it's the same two commercials every single break.
Well,
yeah but
that.
Still in all, though, they're cutting 20.
You got to be very careful there, because my wife watches on-demand all the time, mm-hmm. and an hour show pares down to 58 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So far, the ones
they started adding back commercials, so pay more attention now.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It used to be that way.
Yeah.
About 45, 44 minutes. But now they're back up to 58 minutes because they're adding more commercials.
I got to admit, right now, the one channel I do like is the Hallmark channel.
Yeah.
You know, Kathy and I watch that a lot.
You have a woman at home, don't you?
Yeah.
Does
she like the Lifetime channel, too?
Hell no.
You're only talking like this because your wife is at a convention to the radio.
Does she?
No, she actually watches the ghost channels all the time.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
There's a new one now, Ghost Mines. People going into old ghosts.
Ghost Mines?
Not Mines.
They don't talk anyway.
So, yeah, you can't tell they're there. They're going to mines left over from the gold rush. Oh, there's ghosts in here from all the men that died.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, just
wait. There's really. One of them. Ghost is it? What Ghost Hunter has one. Has a guy from Rochester on it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they come to town.
I
want to
back up for a minute. What's this Life channel?
Lifetime.
What's that?
It's a women's channel, and it's a lot of women's movies with women lead characters.
She's not listening.
Women overcoming peril.
I know she's not listening.
I know
right
that's
now.
A generalization, but that's mostly what it is.
It's a lot of that. Yes. That's where you get the I slept with danger and
overcame it.
Yeah, and overcame it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's owned by A&E, which is owned by Disney, apparently.
Everything is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Disney or Beatrice Foods own everything, apparently.
No lie there.
That's how that works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so.
Where were we?
I don't know where we were. Suddenly, this happens. We do on Sunday nights in Second Life. We do an extension mm-hmm. of sound bites there. If you're in Second Life, just look for me, Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L Infinity, and ask me for a teleport. 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Linden Time, and I'll bring you over. But what's interesting is we often do the same thing. We will start talking about computers. The next thing you know, we're talking about movies and television shows and pretty much everything there is to talk about. It's actually a fun and interesting hour with some really, really nice people. So we're having fun with that as well.
Talk about getting off subjects and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I was at work just this past week, and I had a number of folks come up to me and go, "So you're making the rum balls again this year?"
There you go.
"How soon before the cookies come?"
There you go.
Because, you know, I got to be known for bringing in some of the rum balls.
We're looking forward to them. It's not Christmas without your rum balls.
Oh, and then a lot of my Christmas cookies.
Let me know when they're coming. I'll bring a designated driver.
Well, let's see.
Look, people, hold on. Before we go any farther, people, I know it's a beautiful day in Rochester, New York, but you can give us a call anyway, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I can answer that question for you right now. It will be December 21st, because that's the last show we do, because Christmas falls on a Wednesday.
Okay.
So so it'll be that December 21st will be the Rumball show.
You definitely want to tune in for that one. That's going to be an often downloaded show.
No open flames.
You think we're loose normally? Wait until we have the Rumball show.
Oh, yeah, and I got some, of course I got the Antigua rum came in.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thanks to my friend who sends that to me. I thoroughly enjoy
it. That's all I can say. Yeah.
He's been doing this for years for me, and it's just great because it does make the rum balls.
It does that.
And I think I might even make them a day earlier, because it seems the longer they set, the better they
soak
are.
It up, yeah.
Make them now.
No, I...
And then.
And we'll do a taste comparison.
2 weeks old, three, four weeks old, 6 weeks, eight.
I'll really be the designated driver then. That happened to me at work many years ago when I was working at the bank. My boss and I were having a very serious discussion about what we were doing in terms of new computers for the bank and blah, 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 blah. And he had rum balls sitting on the desk. He pushed them toward me. I had one. He had one. Over the course of about an hour, we each had maybe three, and that's really all we had. I stood up to leave, and I couldn't stand up straight. I sat back down. I said, "Oh, my."
It's a shot in every rum ball?
And he said, "What's wrong with you?" And he stood up and fell over. It was a kind of a, I said, "You know what? I'm just going to sit here for a while." He said, "Okay, me too." We closed up the rum balls and set them aside, but it was a while before we got up and walked away.
Yeah, no, I love doing the cooking and that.
Yep.
Kathy doesn't mind me getting into doing all that stuff. Once in a while, she'll get dangerous and get in the kitchen. Oh, I got to tell you this other story, since she's not listening right now.
Yeah.
She has this thing when bottles get low.
Sure she's not listening. Yeah, okay. No.
So when bottles get low, she'll take the bottle and swing it around her arm, centrifugal force, trying to get it to come down to the bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, she did that. She's doing that, whooping around with a Hershey's chocolate.
It didn't have a close?
It didn't go close. Ceiling all the way around, down the cupboards, on the floor, back out.
Ouch.
She goes, "If you had done this, I would have killed you." Yeah. She goes, "I did it, and I got to tell you."
Oh, it's those little things that keep relationships alive or kill them entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no,
we just hang them upside down in a glass.
Yeah, well, I tell her usually I have two. Once one gets low, I turn it upside down.
Yeah.
And set it in the cupboard or off to the corner.
Yeah.
And then use the other one.
Yeah, we have a couple of highball glasses and we put them in there. And let them, more than a couple highball glasses, and put them in there and let them sit upside down while we start the new
out,
one.
Yeah.
And then it's real easy to pour from the old one into.
You see
the
them
one.
In restaurants sometimes. There's like a little coupler, little plastic coupler on the ketchup bottles, and you turn one upside down and feed it into the other one and just let gravity win.
Let gravity win. Why not? It's
gravity sucks.
Gravity sucks. It's
Tom, please call back. Well, the
buttons.
I went to hit the button and with.
We have to stop letting him take vacations because he comes back and then just starts randomly pressing buttons on.
It's
the carpal tunnel.
Yeah, the carpal tunnel. I can't, when I'm pushing, I can't really feel the button on the thing, and my screw up, I admit it. So, Tom, please call back, and I'll get you right back on. I apologize.
Well, you won't get him back on until after the break, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still got a little time before we go on that.
Yeah, but...
oh, like maybe...
now?
Maybe now.
Getting close. You might want to do it right about now.
That's what I thought. All right, folks, we are finally going to take a slightly longer hiatus here. We'll be back in just a few minutes with a whole nother hour of this nonsense. Save us from ourselves and give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Particularly poor Tom, who Dave cut off. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour on the 16th of November, and we'll be back with a whole... did I already say we'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest running? Then I'll say it right now. We'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGN
and Computer Show. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we have Tom back. Thank you for calling back, Tom. We're delighted to have you come back and talk to us. We'll get you on the air in just a moment, and there you are. How are you, Tom?
He was there a minute ago.
Tom, are you there? Tom is not there. Okay. We're not going to talk to Tom then.
All right, we'll try again in a moment.
Call back again, Tom. I don't know what happened that time. I'm not sure what just happened there, but Dave is frantically trying to get you back.
Once again, showing online. The studio wasn't built for live radio call-in shows.
Right. which is why we're grateful to all the people who over the last few weeks.
Tom?
Yes.
There you are. Okay, Tom, what's up?
I bought Windows 8, and that was a nightmare, so I upgraded to 8.1, and that's somewhat better. But I have a problem. I can't find the options to do a second mail account. How do you do that?
What mail program are you using?
The one that came with Windows 8.
That's Live, isn't it?
Live Mail, is it?
Yeah. Live Mail.
Should be under Preferences or Tools or something. So there should be an account option.
I couldn't find anything.
Okay, you're in local Windows Live Mail, right?
Right.
Okay, so to add an email account, start up Live Mail, of course.
Okay, I'll start it.
You're going to write this down. We don't have time to go through all the
things. And I'm going to post the link also.
Yeah.
Or you're going to post the link?
Yeah, he's going to post the link.
Okay.
So in the lower left corner, you open Mail, and there is an Accounts tab. So you open the Accounts tab. Then you click email and put in that new address and password and everything else. Click next, and if there are additional steps, they'll come up. Sometimes, you have to put in additional parameters depending on who your mail service is. And then if you want more accounts, just click add another email account.
And that's in Live Mail?
That's in Windows Live Mail, yes, absolutely.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's there. You need to be in the Accounts tab.
The Accounts tab. I don't see any Accounts tab anywhere.
Okay. Well, are you in Windows Live Mail?
Yes, I am.
In the lower left corner, do you see a button called Mail?
No, I don't. I see Hotmail. I set up a Hotmail account, but there's no option to set up a second one.
There's no tools or options or a preferences command?
No.
In any of the menus?
No.
There should
okay,
be.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture here, and there is in the lower left corner a thing called mail, and I don't know what to tell you at this point. This is one of those things where somebody's got to be actually looking at your system in order to see where you actually are and what you're actually doing. I apologize.
Well, that's all right.
I wish I could... I wish I could help you because I don't know what else... What else to say? Again, it's the same thing. So if you're in Windows Mail, there's no tools menu.
No.
Is there a full screen option you can get out of to see the tools, the menus
yeah, if
maybe?
If you push the mouse cursor all the way to the top of the screen, does a menu bar appear?
No, just a hand for minimizing it and getting rid of it.
Hold on the Windows key and hit I to bring up settings.
Hit I?
Yeah. Maybe that'll work.
Yes, that worked.
Now you can add an account.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep.
All righty.
So one of those hidden knowledges that you'll never find.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's... And I apologize. There are, in general, simply some things that we cannot do... Without seeing...
Neither of us have Windows.
Right. Neither of us is running... Certainly not running Windows 8.1. If anybody would like to send me a Windows 8.1 computer, I would be glad to begin the process of learning better how to support Windows 8.1. But right at the moment, I can't do it since I don't have a machine that does it. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. How are you, Linda?
I'm peachy. How are you guys?
Dang peachy, thanks. What's up?
Okay, I had an iTouch fourth generation, and I was able to do whatever I wanted to do, put the videos on whatever I wanted to do. On the five, I've noticed when I do that, it puts everything from my computer on there. It doesn't let me. How do I? Okay. Let me see if I can explain this better.
Yeah, I think I understand. In iTunes, when you tell it to sync music and movies and TV shows, there's a menu that says sync all or sync selected. So you want to, right now it sounds like it's set to sync all. You want to change that to sync selected.
Oh, where do you find that?
In iTunes, you select your iDevice, and then there's a bunch of tabs, one for music, one for movies, one for TV shows.
Okay. Yeah, I had manually do it, but for some reason, oh no, I know what I did. I didn't do it on my computer. I had it backed up to iCloud, and on the iTouch, I just did it that way. So I got to do it on my computer.
Well, where are you trying to sync information from?
Okay. Well, okay. When I opened up the, it says, "Do you want to back up from your last sync?" And I backed up the four.
Yep.
And it says, "Do you want to back up to your last sync?" And I said, "Yes." But for some reason, it doesn't, because I only have maybe four or five different movies on the fourth. For some reason, it just doesn't take those four. It takes all of them.
Because you have, so forget about the four, and on the new five, you have to change the sync settings from sync all to sync selected.
Okay. I thought to myself, what's going on? Because it's taking, because it takes hours and hours, and I said, I don't want all that.
Yeah, by default, iTunes thinks you want to sync everything on your computer to your device, which is interesting because there's not enough space on most people's devices to put everything from their computer.
Well, I've got a 64 gig one.
Yeah.
Still, I don't want it to take hours and hours and hours.
I've got 600 gigs of movies and music on my, and mostly podcasts, on my computer that would never fit.
Well, I've got 500 gigs on my computer.
Yeah, so in the movies tab, the music tab, the TV shows tab, you can change that sync all to sync selected, and then pick the playlists or artists that you want to sync.
Nick, do you remember when I switched from Windows XP to Windows 7? Remember I told you I hadn't, I couldn't use my backup?
Yep.
Okay. I Remember I told you I only had a 500 gig? Well, I got a 1 terabyte hard drive, but they had a sale on HSN for a 750 gig click-free hard drive. So now, okay, now I can do that. I haven't used my computer in over 6 months because I use my iPad.
Yep.
For everything. Sure, many people do.
Okay, so now when I turn my computer on, is the first thing I should do is update my antivirus, then download all the updates before I do anything else?
Yes. That should always be the if you haven't used it in a while, that's the first thing. Make sure everything is, all your antivirus type stuff, all your anti-malware stuff is completely up to date before you do anything else.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because, you know, I get this Windows 7 computer, but the screen I've got in a very small space is only a 17-inch, and my eyesight's not good. So I use my iPad for almost everything, or my laptop. So, you know, because I want to do the iTunes thing. So, okay, that's what I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Linda.
And with iTunes in the cloud and Google Music in the cloud, a lot of people aren't syncing from their computer anymore. They're just using cloud streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I find myself doing the same thing. I don't. I watch a lot of Netflix. I'm that guy watching Netflix. I admit it. I'm having. We got a couple of questions here. Back to the phones first. We got Michael waiting. Hang on there, Michael. We're going to Bill from Irondequoit. Welcome, Bill. What's up?
I have a question about an iPhone.
Yeah.
Got an iPhone 5 with iOS 7. And one of the annoying features it has is that it only saves 100 phone numbers. Or 100 recent calls. My old, not smartphone, saved, I don't know, 300 or 400. And for me, I want to look back more than 3 or 4 days to see if someone called me. I can't because the call is gone. And I thought maybe with iOS 7 that they would, increase the number of calls it saves.
I hadn't heard of that limit before. Let's take a look here. There are apps you can download that will save your call log to your computer.
Yeah, I want to keep it on my. I just want to keep it on the phone. You know, just make a longer list.
Yeah, I understand that. There is a. Well, I don't know if it's available for iOS. Doggone it.
There are a couple of apps that will do that.
There's one for Android called CallTrack.
Yep.
The iOS for there's one called CallLog Pro.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
But that will let you export the data and see it on your computer. Let me see if there's a way to do it on the phone itself. Or if anyone else knows, they can call.
Yeah, really. Give us a call. And
I will say for you Android users, while Steve is looking into the iOS answer, there's a program called CallTrack, all one word, CallTrack. And what you do is you set up a specific calendar in Google Calendars. I cleverly called mine phone. And what CallTrack does
good one.
Is it records every call you make or get to that phone calendar so you can show it in addition to your other calendars or instead of your other calendar, whatever you want to do on there. And so one of the things that I see is calls I took, calls I missed, who called me, who I called, how long they lasted. Really kind of nice stuff, and it keeps all of that up to date. And there, I know there are things like that for iOS, but I don't know them specifically.
I'm finding comments that you can log into your carrier account and see more call log as well. And your carrier may have an app, or you can use their website.
Okay.
But 100 calls is usually months and months for most people. You said
it's
you
like 3 days maybe for me. It's just a lot from work.
Wow, you get 30 calls a day.
Anyhow.
Wow. How do you get any work done with 30 calls a day?
Maybe those are your work.
Yeah, that is your work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there. If you go to the
app store and look up call tracking. There's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Including one called call tracking.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep.
Thanks. We have a question.
That was probably a trade-off on the amount of space that phones have. Shouldn't now anymore, but a lot of the early phones were 8 gig was the small phone. Now 16 gigs is common. But if you use up a lot of space for your OS and your apps and your data, there's not enough left for anything else. But these days with 16 gig, 32 gig phones, and a call log is text. That should be very simple to get beyond that.
Yeah.
Or at least make it a preference. So if you want to use more of your storage space for call logs, they should let you.
Right. Well, and that's what I was about to suggest. Is that, in fact... all right, that's not working.
Yeah, the 100 limit does seem to be hard-coded into iOS, but the carrier, Verizon, AT&T, and whatnot, will show you more call logs, so you can log into the website of your carrier and see more history. And then the apps will let you export that history into your computer as well.
There you go.
Apple.com/feedback and request that feature in an update. That's something we could always do.
Oh, but I've been requesting quite a number of things from Google recently.
I think they have a no button. If it comes from Nick Francesco, just no.
I can't argue with that. I'm pretty sure that works that way.
Well, but there's so many things, you know, from Google that you can get that just make life a lot easier. You know, and doing things like their documents. I love doing documents up there on their space that's not taking any room on my hard drive. They're backed up. And same with backing up my photos and everything else to the cloud.
Yep.
And the various things. And then the calendar. Calendar is a godsend to me because of keeping track of all the holidays and appointments and everything else. Otherwise, I'd forget. I suffer from CRS, so what can I say?
Yeah, for me, it's craft. But yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I like is the additions they're making to Gmail recently. One thing that my daughter particularly likes is that I can now send her money right from within Gmail. I can also save attachments directly to my Google Drive now. So on my Chromebook, it's very nice. Speaking of Chromebook, we have a Chromecast question. We'll get to that in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and we're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I miss doing my Thursday night show.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have a question from Michael over in the Google Hangout. He says, I have Amazon Unbox on my Windows 7 machine. Is there a way to stream them to my big screen TV using my Chromecast? The answer to that, of course, Michael, is probably.
Streaming with the Chromecast, the answer is no. There are other services.
No. You can do this. I'm beginning to hate this. There's something not right with my mouse. Look at this. It won't go anywhere but where it wants to go. Nice. What you can do. What you can do is, if you are using Chrome browser, there is an extension called Chromecast, which sends content it's called Google Cast. It is from Google. And what it does is it sends content from your Chromecast to your Chromecast and any other devices that support Google Cast, one of which, of course, is the Chromecast. So you're sitting on your, you install this extension in Chrome. You're sitting there watching something, and you want to shoot it to your Chromecast. There's a little icon. You click the icon, and it shoots it there for you.
So one of the features of the Chromecast hardware is that things in your Chrome browser can go to your television.
Right.
And so this adds, does it add anything else besides Amazon?
No, it adds whatever. It adds whatever.
Oh, anything else?
Anything
playing.
You're streaming apparently can be. In fact, just I guess it shoots that tab to the Chromecast. So it's pretty cool, actually. I have the same thing for YouTube. I have synced my Blu-ray player has YouTube in it, so I've synced my Blu-ray player to my. It essentially works all through your user ID on Google. Mm-hmm. So I've linked my YouTube player in my Blu-ray player to my ID for Google, and now when I'm on any other device, there's an extra little icon that I can click, and whatever I'm watching will show up on the television instead. It's very cool. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's up?
I've got a Dell computer, desktop, and I've got some problems with it. It runs very slow. When I try to do anything with it, the hourglass comes on, and it stays on from 10 seconds to minutes. I recently started getting a screen note that says load disk space on C.
What version of Windows is this?
This is Windows 7.
Okay, and if I remember correctly from your, you said you sent an email. I think your hard drive is only what, a 40 gig?
Oh, let me look at the specifications.
Yeah, the low disk space message. As your hard drive gets full, your computer will slow down because it when it runs out of memory, it has to use hard disk.
It's a 37.24 gig.
Yeah, that's a 40 gig very hard drive, which is a very small very hard small. Drive.
A thousand is small today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's small and it's old.
Okay.
Yeah. Two things. It's small, it's old, it needs to be replaced if you're going to stay with that machine.
Well, it's likely also that you have very little RAM. If the machine is that old with that small a hard drive, you probably have very little RAM.
1.12.
Yeah. And so what's happened is this, Jim. As time goes on, Microsoft and, well, every vendor adds new features, new ways to do things, new stuff.
Takes
more
space.
That makes the software more and more bloated, so it takes more and more space on your hard drive. The people who are writing these things have multi-gigabytes of RAM, terabytes of disk space, mm-hmm. quad-core processors. They're not writing for people like you and me anymore. So you get to the point where your machine just is no. If you have an older machine, if it's more than 3 years old, it's going to start getting to the point where it's slowing down. Not necessarily because you have a virus or anything else, but just the fact that you no longer have enough room to run the newer versions of everything.
So you can look at replacing the hard drive in your computer, possibly
adding more RAM,
or look at a new computer.
Which one would you suggest?
I would suggest a new computer because you there's several things at play here. You get more RAM, you get a larger hard drive, you get a faster processor, and it's all new. Because a machine that's more than a few years old is kind of a ticking time bomb. No. Something's going to die.
And
a ticking time bomb.
And the new, there we go. I'll go with it. The new Windows 8.1 supposedly now has the toolbar back, I heard. So
it's got a start button, which is not the same as the start menu was.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but it's closer.
It's closer.
Yeah, what do these things run these days?
It depends.
Yeah.
Well, and we were talking about Google Chrome a minute ago. If your needs are just simple web browsing, then a Chromebook for $250 gets you to the web and look at web pages, look at web mail, look at almost anything you need.
Yeah.
Right.
Even tablets are similar to that.
But if you want to get into gaming and all that, I mean, it's going to depend on what you want to do.
You can spend $10,000 on an Alienware.
Very basic, receiving and sending messages.
Right. So here's what you need to do. Write down everything you want to do. Everything. Take it to a local vendor and say, here's my list of requirements. Show me some machines and do some shopping around. You know, this is clearly when you buy a machine, you keep that machine. So this is like buying a new car. You know, you're not going to spend that kind of money, but you're making that kind of commitment. So take some time, take a look at different machines, take a look at different prices. In addition to the people, and in addition to the hardware, pay attention to the people. Because we always say buy locally, but that not only means you're leaving your money locally, it means you have a face to look at. So pay attention to the people you're talking to and find people there who are trustworthy and who you want to do business with.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. We always, you know, wherever you're listening, we suggest buying locally. I mean, for some stuff, you know, I buy pieces and parts from Newegg. I buy this and that from Amazon or wherever. But
yeah, a lot of times, if you know how to fix it yourself or know how to work on it yourself. But it's nice having a local dealer and a face you can talk to and not some anonymous box on the end of the phone.
Right. You have, I'm not going to get into horror stories of online tech support. But the reality is that...
The horror now is the fake online tech support and tricking people into spending hundreds of dollars on services...
That they really don't need to.
And don't fix the problem in the first place.
A friend of mine in California just called... I was on Facebook. She got online and started just spewing her sorrow at having been caught by these people. I said, first, why didn't you call me first?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question I have to ask you. Secondly, you need to call them and get your money back. You need to call the Better Business Bureau and lodge a complaint. And then you need to get me on your machine somehow.
Yep.
The couple of the recent ones we've seen, we had a customer whose computer, he couldn't log into his banking website anymore, so he called the bank to ask them. And he says the bank referred them to this online site, but we often see you Google something wrong. You know, I'm looking for tech support,
right?
And you know, Microsoft tech support, Apple tech support, and you find ads that you don't know are ads.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called up this company, and they said for $300 they could log into his computer and fix the problem.
It sounds like exactly the same one,
right? Wow. Well, and so I dug a little bit into this company. $300 is a 6-month subscription to their remote access service, so you can call them as many times as you want to fix as many problems as you want in that 6 months. Well, his problem was that his computer was too old to run the latest browser, mm-hmm. And so he said they spent 3 hours on his computer and couldn't fix the problem.
Well, it's like
I fixed it in 5 minutes. You can't do that website anymore because the computer's too old.
Right.
And so half the time, they might be a legitimate company, but most of the time, we're seeing they're just taking advantage of older people,
scare tactics.
You know, and just tricking people into doing this.
Mm-hmm. Although they're making millions, I don't know why I'm not in that business. I blame my parents.
I blame
my parents for raising me right.
Yeah. Mine too.
Doggone them.
You know, it's... I'll treat people the way I want to be treated.
That's exactly right. You got to be careful out there, folks. That's why give us a call, and my dear friend in California, I'll be dealing with her tomorrow afternoon. We'll see what we can do to get her machine.
Well, it's just like the previous caller that we just called in too. I mean, you can tell when he said it was only a 40 gig hard drive.
Yeah,
they haven't made 40 gig hard drives in how many years?
Yeah.
I mean, that is super old.
And I get it nowadays. First, if it's working, why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, but he upped it to Windows 7. I've got a feeling when he bought that original machine...
It was running XP.
It was running XP. Which
95,
was
maybe.
95. Could have been.
Yeah, yep. Or no, 98.
Yeah, probably 98.
Yeah, 98.
He skipped at me.
Yeah.
And hopefully Vista.
Yeah. No lie on that one, too. And Windows.
But yeah, so yeah, it. And you're right, Steve. I have a Chromebook. I just bought the new HP 14 Chromebook, and I'm more in love with that than I ever was with the other ones. But I know what it's useful for. It's a subsidiary machine for me. Mm-hmm. I take it with me everywhere. I do word processing and spreadsheets and all the Google Drive stuff. I do websites and everything else. But I know that when I'm sitting and doing real coding, or I'm doing video stuff, or I'm doing photo stuff, then I'm sitting at my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's not the everything machine for everybody.
Right.
But it's still, for many people, it's all you need. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller, Scott from Buffalo, New York. Our friend Scott.
Hello.
Hiya, Scott. How are you?
I'm a belt and suspenders guy.
Yeah.
So for backup, I use my iMac. I use Time Machine, and I have another backup machine. It's called a G Drive.
Yep, and from GTAC, yeah.
I only back up with that guy once a month. Well, apparently in the last month, I added 7 gigabytes of new stuff.
Wow.
I don't know how, but apparently I did. So it's taking forever for this G Drive to back up. And I'm not sure what's going on. It seems like it stops every so often. And it says I have 18 hours left for it to back everything up.
Yeah, the longer it's been since your last backup, the longer the backup takes, because it has to scan through all the files to see what's changed.
I see.
Yeah, and so it's not necessarily backing up 7 gigs worth of stuff, but it's searching your hard drive through 7 gigs worth of stuff to see what it needs to back up.
It's comparing dates.
And comparing everything, yeah.
Yeah, dates and times
of
a file.
The good ones, it's the date, the time, the size. It takes a hash of the file on both ends and compares them. So it's a fairly intensive thing. And if you only do it once a month, it can certainly take that kind of time.
Oh, heck yeah.
I see. Because my Time Machine is backing up 1.3 terabytes without any problem at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's local.
Yeah. Well, and there's a Time Machine normally backs up every hour. So you don't lose more than an hour's worth of work, which is great. And you probably didn't do that much in an hour, so it's fast.
Yeah.
But when you wait a long time to do a backup, that can make it longer. There is a program called Time Tracker from Charles Soft, and I just published a link to it. And that will actually show you what exactly is backed up inside the Time Machine backup. If you ever look at your Time Machine backup, it looks like it backed up your whole hard drive every single time. And it's using a Unix trick called Hard Links. So that it backs up changed files, but every backup looks like the full thing. So that's why you should never muck about in your backup folder, because you can mess things up and make it not work right
severely
anymore. Yeah. But this Time Tracker program will let you see what exactly it backed up in that whole backup list.
And let me suggest that you back up with your G Drive every week instead of every month. And that will certainly take less time each time.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Okay. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The ponies run. The girls are young.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
That was just a little Leonard Cohen.
Who doesn't love... I have that album. I love that album.
Well, this is
and that's the reason I stopped it, because I would just sing along.
Yeah. This is a double CD pack.
Yeah.
It's a true CD. And I noticed from his first CD, I know we'll get to the callers in a minute, but going from his first CD to his second, you will notice how that guy's voice changes.
Yeah.
drastically because on his second D, he's very raspy.
Well, he's 86 years old, too.
Yeah.
On that second album.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's darn good.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, he was 40 something the first album, 80 something the second album.
Didn't he do a lot of books, too? Leonard Cohen books that have been made into movies?
No.
No. It's different person. I do believe.
Elmore Leonard. That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Oops.
Elmore Leonard, Leonard Cohen.
Close.
George M. Cohen. It could be anybody. Our next caller is probably Larry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. Saturday, I decided to try to update to iCloud for my iMac, the phone, and the iPad. And I did it primarily because I wanted to keep the calendar up to date, because it does appear that you can no longer simply plug the calendar or the phone in and get them to update automatically. So it seems like Apple is forcing you to use iCloud, as near as I can tell.
No, you can sync with iTunes or you can sync with iCloud, but you can't do both.
You can't. I guess I don't understand.
You can plug your phone into your computer and tell iTunes to sync your calendars.
I have not been able to get it to do it since I upgraded to iOS 7.
Right, but that it doesn't work over the air anymore. It only works...
Right, you sync with iTunes over the USB cable, or you sync with iCloud over the Internet.
Right. So,
I guess what I'm saying is, since I upgraded to iOS 7, I cannot sync the calendars between the iMac and the other devices through the USB cable. It won't do it.
Oh, interesting.
And I've looked for everything that I can find. I've tried looking at some of the blogs around. Some of the blogs suggest that the function might not be there. But with my limited ability and going to every resource that I could think of other than coming to you guys, I have been unable to do it since I updated the iPad and the iCloud to iOS 7. Now, it could be the new operating system for the iMac, too, because that's upgraded, too. But I cannot plug them in over USB anymore and get the calendars to sync.
Yeah, I haven't synced over USB in years, so I haven't even tried it with iOS 7.
Well, the iCloud syncing is... I finally decided that, okay, so let me try iCloud. So I followed the instructions, and for the next 35 hours, iCal sat on the desktop of the iMac saying that it was moving data to the server. You couldn't close it. You couldn't do anything. I even tried rebooting the PC. It would just come back with the same message. Finally, I got in and somehow got iCal to close. But then what it did is it wiped out all my data in iCal in terms of events and things that I had put in already. So what I'm wondering is, if you do get iCloud to work, are you suddenly putting all of the calendar's information actually on an iCloud server, if you will, and then simply accessing it, somewhat like Microsoft's Outlook server
Exchange
or something
server.
Like that?
Yeah. Yeah, basically all of your calendar data is stored on the calendar server online, and your computer can look at it, your phone can look at it, your tablet can look at it, and you can look at it on the web. And that's how it synchronizes between all the devices, because then the online server is the central repository. So what probably happened is, since you aborted the upload, so the first thing that would have done when you switched on iCloud calendars, it has to upload all of your calendar data to that server. There is an option somewhere, I don't remember it offhand, probably in preferences, on how far back in time to go. Because you usually don't need, 2 years ago calendars to update. So that could have been what was taking so long. It was updating all of your calendar data from ever.
Okay.
And uploading to the internet is significantly slower than downloading. So that may be why it was taking so long. And since you aborted that process, it didn't finish doing it.
Oh.
So it's something you have to let it upload from the computer to the cloud. And then once that finishes, it will be accessible on all your other devices.
Okay.
So you may want to try logging in.
I will try it again. I'm slowly trying to wean myself to the point that I can put I guess what I consider personal data on it in a calendar. I suppose it's really not personal, but it just seems to me that you're basically telling them everything you got, and it's sitting on someone else's server, and God only knows who might hack that sometime. But.
Yeah, but it is encrypted along the way, and it uses your username and password for accessing that service.
Would you use it?
Yeah, I use it all the time. It's funny. I use iCloud at home, and we use Google Calendar at work. And I have fights between my work Google account and my home Google account and my Apple Cider Google account. And now that Google wants to merge all your data in one, that's even more annoying because we had an Apple Cider YouTube account that was separate from my work Google Calendar account.
Oops.
So, yeah, all my accounts are fighting each other back and forth.
Okay, well, I guess if you guys can use it, and you're the pros.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with doing that. But all that stuff is encrypted up there, and... Yeah. Honestly, I'm not doing anything that I'm hiding from anybody anyway. So
yeah.
For calendar,
yeah.
No national security secrets.
The fact that you're sending it someplace you don't know, but yeah. Then I guess you're always sending something someplace you don't know. So
exactly.
Yeah. Just the act of moving data over the internet sends it through a bunch of servers you don't know.
And the NSA is watching anyway. Yeah.
Right. All right, we got to move on.
So I guess I will try this again, but this time I'll limit how far back it goes. And
there you go.
Hopefully something will happen. Thank you so much for your answers, guys.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, it's always a question of who do you trust, and what are you trusting them with? You know, I certainly don't put bank information up there, but
I've been using
Mint.
I'm
going to lunch with a friend of mine. Yeah. I don't care if they know that.
I have been using Mint, which you give it your bank account numbers and it tracks all, but it uses the banking system's back end connections anyway.
Right.
So you deposit a check at your bank talks to the other bank through the internet, you know, hopefully secure encrypted connections to pass money back and forth anyway.
So right. Mint and is, as we're seeing, they're hitting the other end anyway. Nobody's hitting Google for this stuff. They're hitting your bank.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is George from Greece, New York. What's up, George?
Need some help. Doing a little research to pick out a new computer.
Yeah.
And I see several of the laptops offering touchscreen.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, that's not a feature I was particularly looking for, but it might be useful in the future. What's the life characteristics of these touchscreens?
The what characteristic?
The life. How long do they last?
Not as long as you'd want them to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. What the reason a lot of laptops are putting touchscreens in is because Windows 8 is optimized for touch. And one of the biggest complaints against it is if you don't have a touchscreen, it's hard and not very intuitive
pain
to use.
Butt.
Yeah. But we're sort of seeing a general, I don't know what the right word is. People used to keep their computers 10 years. Well, the earlier caller, you know, had a 40 gig hard, probably a 15-year-old computer. Nowadays, you should expect to replace your computer within 3 years, five probably at the outside. And prices have been driven down, components have gotten cheaper, so probably by the time the touchscreen fails, you'll be onto another computer anyway. But touchscreens themselves have been around for quite a long time. In the phone industry, Apple was one of the first companies to do touchscreen phones in 2007, and then all the other companies started doing it also. So touchscreen technology itself has been around a long time. It's just been very expensive up until now.
Okay, and can it be deactivated? Well, I have a little habit of putting my finger on the screen when I'm trying to copy some data.
Yeah, we're used to touching the screen now, and it doesn't do anything because...
I don't know of anyone that will let you deactivate it.
I suppose you could remove the driver.
No, I'm looking for a practical...
Yeah, no, I don't know of one that allows that.
Yeah, okay.
More
That's
important,
good.
If particularly if you're getting a laptop...
Yes.
More important, the most important thing is the warranty. That's the big thing. If they'll give you a 3-year or 4-year or 5-year warranty, that's a good indication of how long they expect that touchscreen to last.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, but no one's offering that sort of a warranty just out of the box.
Well, but you usually can buy an extended warranty that covers that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Well, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. What?
There is a way to disable touch in Windows 8.
Oh, good.
Well, you'll put up a link. I want to thank everybody who called in. Want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Call earlier and more often next week. Chicago-style calling. And we'll be back next week. But don't go away. Stick to your radio or to your data stream, because George is going to come in and he's going to play the best German music you will hear all week. And Michael is going to keep him on the straight and narrow, so we don't have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 55 minutes after the hour, and you've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.